Everyone is just trying to survive. I think this is something you hear everywhere from every career and perspective right now in the world. Then there's Antonio Ciangoli and 18 East, a brand that, yes, is trying to survive, but right now is flourishing. Antonio, the creative director, is an old friend, and something I've loved about him is while he's a designer, he's also an evangelist. Over the years, I've watched him as the influencer's influencer, seeding ideas to friends. The double monk, the camp mock, hell, the cargo pant. Because when Antonio gets into an idea, he gets into it. And that's something I truly love about him. Antonio and I chatted about his previous company, Eidos, and how the ups and downs of that business helped him launch and run 18 East, a brand that if you haven't been obsessed with, you're probably about to be. It's a masterclass in clothing designed by the preacher himself. Antonio Ciangoli is back, and he's on Blamo Extra.
Yo, we did it. I'm so sorry. It's taken such a long time, what? Man.
No, don't apologize. This is fine.
I'm psyched to be here.
Yeah.
In my house.
Yeah.
Look, man, all things considered, we're doing well. You know, it could be a lot worse. It's a lot worse for a lot of other people. I don't have that much to complain about. Right now, I'm sitting in my basement, which is where my home office is. And, you know, when I worked at Eidos, I worked out of here a lot, and it hasn't been like that for a long time. But right. But right now, I'm surrounded by stacks of clothes and boxes. And I've been, you know, thankfully, we had photographed everything before things got really bad in America. And so we're kind of locked and loaded for 2 months, basically. Is I've got enough product in this house to get us through the end of May. And it's all been photographed. So, wow. Yeah. So right as things were getting really shaky, I did two runs to New York and brought all of our upcoming stock, from our studio in Chinatown to my house. And then I drove down to Philly and did a photo shoot with the photographer we always shoot with. His name's Saeed Ferguson. And it was Saeed, myself and a model. We all stayed 6 feet apart and knocked out basically like the last round of on model stuff and the last round of flats. And now we're just trying to let it rock. And thankfully it's been going okay so far. It's, better than okay. It's been going well. And which is crazy because there are very, very few people in this industry right now that can say that. It's been going good. So,
yeah, I mean, well, and we're not, you know, I'm not going to rip on any other industry things. And obviously that's not what you're doing, but I feel like in a weird way, your business was designed for this, or at least how you all have created it is that it was designed to be extremely nimble.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, if we were more of a traditional, look, every person I know, you know, I have friends that have their own brands and people that work on other products. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really, really hurting right now because most of those people run brands that are, that operate on a slightly more traditional model where, you know, they have some direct, if they're lucky, they have some direct sales. But mm-hmm. a lot of them rely on wholesale accounts to, you know, and sell to major department stores and specialty stores and things like that. And, you know, everybody's hurting. All those stores are closed. And so, you know, in thinking towards the future, all these retailers are coming back to brands and saying, we need a 30% discount or we need to cut our order by this and this and this. And that, I mean, it's a killer. It's a killer for a lot of brands. Everybody's just trying to survive. You know what I mean? Like it's easy to be like, oh, well, they're bad partners if they're doing it that way or whatever. Everybody's just trying to survive and figure this out because nobody thinks about this when you write when you put an annual budget together. Nobody thinks about a pandemic and like a 3 month large shotgun hole in what's it called in the budget. And so it's really tough when you close all of that distribution down. I think for me coming out of Eidos, that model stressed me out to the point of a nervous breakdown, almost like close. I actually don't want to belittle that because I didn't have one, but that model stressed me out so much because we were fairly widely distributed. We weren't deep in a lot of places, but there was a lot of product out there and there were two people on the team really. Right. And so like we did all of that hustle ourselves, which is great. You know, in a lot of ways, it's amazing. You know, I had amazing experiences getting to know all of these, all of these amazing stores. And, but it just is really hard to do that. And when it was time to kind of rethink doing something, it needs to be different. I can't spend the vast majority of my time at Eidos was spent thinking about how to convince a store to buy more product. That was how I was more successful, not how to convince the customer how to buy product or to tell them why what we did was cool, right? It was in order for us to grow and maybe get some more help, I have to get this in this many more doors and I have to increase the buy by this there. And it felt like that was a wrong, it felt like it was, and what's the word? Just a not effective use of my time and skills. And so when it was time to kind of rethink things, I decided that it was all going to stay as close as I could see it, at least for a long time. Right? We were going to sell stuff ourselves online and then in our own store, but the mentality behind the store was that it really wasn't a store. It was an office and it was a fulfillment center. And it was a place where when a customer came in, I was on the floor every day, right? Is that like, this is not the cool guy show. Like where like I'm there, the office is literally in the front of the space and Cameron and I and Phil and Leon and John, like we're sitting out front working on product. Right. And then when orders ship, we're the ones that ship it. We don't do a fulfillment center,
pick and pack and
right. We're doing all of that stuff. We were always doing all of that stuff ourselves. It's why, you know, when we found the studio space, we picked a spot that was, you know, in the neighborhood that we thought was the right one, but on a quiet block where rent would be lower. And the reality was, you know, we did that because we knew we were never going to get a ton of foot traffic in that space. And because of that, we could get some and people could come and check it out and come and meet us and ask us questions. But more than anything, like it was this multi-purpose space so that people could see things in real life, but it was never going to be this idea that we needed to do huge numbers to make huge rents. And thankfully, that approach has allowed me to move the stock here and basically be unaffected by that. And that's not, you know, there are very few people that can say that. So we're really, really lucky in that regard right now.
Well, okay. Let's zoom way out here because no. This is extremely helpful, but I would say, because I think a lot of listeners and other people who are obviously massive fans of you, not everyone really understands what was the traditional way to how was Eidos set up versus how 18 East is. And so, I mean, just I'll say something very quickly in the sense that 18 East is, it feels like it's from the brand direct to the customer, not a direct to consumer brand, because that's kind of like a weird connotation these days. But how was Eidos set up? Because you kept saying like I had to make the stores buy more. Like what was that?
So Eidos is a traditional wholesale brand. Like the vast majority of brands that we all know and love are, right? The reality is when most people are starting a brand, they don't have a ton of money. And so if you have a great idea for a brand, but you don't have a ton of money, you can put the money that you do have into a sample collection, right? And then take that sample collection and either, again, you can show it at a trade show, you can show it out of a showroom, but stores will come and look at that and place an order. And then whatever they order is produced. And then, whatever they order is produced. And then that's sold to stores. And so there's on some level, the theory was that there's less risk, right? Because you're not investing in your own stock, right? You're not investing in your own stock. You don't have to pay for your own inventory. You only produce what's getting sold, right? That's kind of the traditional model. But you know, after running a wholesale brand for 5 years, I felt like there were some really, really clear and huge drawbacks to that model that I felt like it wasn't, in today's day and age, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to do things that way. Because if you do things that way, there are a lot of sacrifices you have to make.
Well, okay. So what would be something and that you wish you knew while you were at Eidos that you now know?
Oh man.
In terms of like how you structured the business.
That's a hard question to ask because
you got to be a member of the Blam Fam to hear it. Join us over on Patreon at patreon.com/Blammo to hear the rest of this episode and many more episodes of Blammo Extra. Also, you get to join us on Slack, and there's tons of other great benefits. So join us over there, and we'll see you soon.